May be seated. Brother Morgan.
All right. Brother Dunbar reminds me that you can start planning for youth camp June the 14th through the 18th. I think they're going back to Triple S, and so pray about youth camp. That's when they're planning to go, June the 14th through the 18th, so don't forget that. Might also remember on April the 25th, we're going to have Brother Steve Brady and his family with us. They'll be singing, and he'll be preaching for us that Sunday morning. That's on April the 25th. And I think, 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. And that's when nominal believers go to church. When they don't go any other time, they'll go on Easter Sunday. So, well, that's good. I'm glad they at least come once. And, hey, if they'll keep coming one of these days, maybe, they'll let the Lord deal with them. And they'll get serious about being in the house of God. So, remember to pray about those things, if you would. I was talking yesterday to Brother Whitaker, and God has been good to them. He said, we are really enjoying our new building. They had a ladies' meeting with them, and I think there's two or three other churches that came in, and they had, he said, I think we had about 110 ladies there for the meeting. So, of course, now they've got room and the ability to do those things. So what a blessing that is. And just talking to him, he was excited. And you keep praying for them, all right? Pray that God will just continue to bless that work, and it will grow, and they'll soon be able to be self-sustaining, if you would, and that'll be a blessed time. And I know I'm supposed to go up there in October and help them in a family conference. So looking forward to that, but that's a few months away. The Lord may come between now and then, and the conference will be canceled, all right? So take your Bible this morning, if you will, the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. I want to open the Word of God to you this morning, and I trust God will speak to your heart today. I've been talking to Brother Oftedal about preaching for me, and when he's ready, are you ready tonight, Brother Oftedal? You're good to go. Brother Oftedal will be preaching tonight, all right? Good deal. Looking forward to it. And, man, I don't know, come and bring your back rest, because he hadn't been able to preach in months. So it may be a while before he'll be able to get finished. So, but just come and be with us, and looking forward to that, all right? Look, if we'll, Romans chapter 15, look, verse 8. The Bible says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, it was written to benefit all mankind, all right? Hey, it was written specifically to that church at Rome in Paul's day. But man, it wasn't just, the message was not just limited to them, all right? It's a message for us. It was a time where there was a lot of dissension. There was a lot of dissension between Jew and Gentile in that day. There was disagreement in the Christian realm. There was disagreement over salvation. There was disagreement over who could be saved. There was disagreement over how that salvation was given. Some were saying you could not be saved unless you were circumcised. And there was just argument back and forth. There was even argument about who was and was not a Jew. There was argument about all of that. Can I just say this to you? All of those arguments are still raging today. All of those arguments still going on. Now, part of the reason for the continuing argument is this simple fact. so many people have rejected the clear revelation of God.
Amen.
We've just rejected it. The Bible has been rejected, it's been resisted, and in some cases been reviled. And when you do that, hey, there's going to be arguments still, all right? But can I say this to you? The fact that it's been rejected and resisted and reviled, none of that changes the truth that's going to stand forever. None of that changes this truth. So don't let those kind of things bother you. Twice in this chapter, Paul uses these words, as it is written. As it is written. Notice what he said there. He said in verse 9, as it is written. And then in verse 10, and again he saith. And then verse 11, and again. And then in verse 12, and again Isaiah saith. Hey, you said, what is he talking about, as it is written? Well, I want to tell you, he wasn't talking about the newspaper.
Right.
He wasn't talking about the Baghdad Vita. You said, what is that? Don't worry about it, all right? He wasn't talking about the Quran. He wasn't talking about the ramblings of Confucius.
No,
wasn't talking about any of that kind of stuff. It is written in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that right there shall never change.
Amen.
It will never change. You reject that truth, and you reject it at your own peril, okay?
Yes, sir.
At your own peril. Now, I don't plan to address this morning in the message all the problems and the disagreements that folks have today because they've rejected God's revealed word. I'm not going to do it because they've rejected this book, all right? But I do want to speak to you this morning on the hope of Jew and Gentile. The hope of Jew and Gentile. You see, I believe it's hope that people want. People want to have hope. The truth is, I think we need hope. I think we need hope. People seek it. If I could just have some hope for the future.
Right.
If I could just have a little hope that things will be better. I could just hope that hope right there. When people lose hope, they sink into depression. In many cases, they take their own life. And all of those things are wrong, all right?
Amen.
But I want to say this to you. The hope of Jew and Gentile, and really the hope for everybody and anybody, is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where that hope is to be found. There was never another like him, and there will never be another like him, all right? Because he is still our hope today. He is our hope. You said, why? Let me give you about four or five reasons this morning why the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Look at verse 8. Would you look at verse 8? Notice what the Bible says about him. It says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Hey, do you realize he's our hope because he is a minister of the truth? Minister of the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. The word of God is the truth. It is his word that is the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, spoke the truth. Man, if there's ever a day we could use the truth, it's today, all right? I mean, the Bible says that truth has fallen in the street, and in many ways it has in our day. We don't know who we can trust to tell the truth, how we need the truth. I personally do not trust the government to tell me the truth. I just don't trust that, all right? They get on the television, they get on the radio. I don't trust them to give me the truth.
Right.
I read the newspaper. Well, I really don't. But on the occasions when I did, all right?
Yes,
I don't trust the newspaper to give me the truth.
Amen.
I've got that way. Why, preacher? Why are you that way? I said, well, hey, because of experience. Experience. Boy, we've had people, man, we've been lied to. And you get lied to, you go to the car repair person and you hope they're telling you the truth, right? We've all seen these exposés where they come out and somebody carries their vehicle in and it's kind of a secret deal and they find all kinds of things wrong that really aren't wrong. You worry about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look for a mechanic that you can trust.
Right. Amen.
Look for a mechanic that you can trust. I just want somebody I can trust. Why? Because people are loose with the truth.
Yes, sir.
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the minister of the truth of God.
Right.
Everything he said is the truth. Hey, when he was on this earth, his life was an example of
Amen.
Truth.
Right.
He was literally truth personified. Yep. Not a word came out of his mouth that wasn't the truth.
Yes, sir. Right.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing spoken by him. Man, that's what we need today. We need the truth.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I go to the doctor. I want him to shoot straight with me.
Amen.
I want him to tell me the truth. I don't want it to be kept from me, all right? If I go in and if he feels like, man, get ready because you got a couple of weeks, okay, that's fine.
That's right.
Just tell me. That's fine. Just tell me. That's okay. You know, I'm reminded of that old joke. The guy goes to the doctor and he's been bitten by a dog and they find out the dog has rabies and the doctor says, well, there's nothing we can do for you. It's too late to treat you. You've got rabies. And so the guy quickly pulls out a piece of paper and he starts writing on this piece of paper. And the doctor says, now, look, you can go home before you write your last will and testament. He said, that's not what I'm writing. I've got a list of people here I want to bite. That's the kind of thing we plan. Hey, look, I want to know the truth, right? I want to know the truth. You know, I'm so glad years ago that I had a preacher preach the truth to
Amen.
Me. Preach the truth to me. I'm so glad when I was a kid sitting in Sunday school that I had Sunday school teachers that had opened this book and teach me the truth of the Word of God. Boy, I appreciate the truth. Don't code it. Try to hide it. Just give me the truth of the Word of God. Hey, many people today don't like it.
That's right.
Don't like it. But you know, they didn't like it in the Lord Jesus Christ's day either. Man, you talk about making them mad. The Pharisees especially didn't want to hear the truth. The Bible said he'd teach them and they'd gnash on him with their teeth.
That's right.
And they came after him to kill him. And the Bible tells us, but he went through in the midst because it wasn't that time yet where they could do that. Boy, he stirred them up. He looked at those Jews that thought they were such holy people, and he told them, he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Man, that's not the way to win friends and influence enemies, you know. But he told them the truth. Hey, I'm glad somebody did that to me. I'm glad somebody didn't stand up one day and said, hey, little boy, you're okay. You just be a good little boy. You just try your best to obey mom and daddy. And as you grow up, you just try to do what's right, and you're going to be okay. No, I'm glad somebody pointed at me and said, you're a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner, and you deserve to spend eternity in the devil's hell. But there's one who came
Amen.
And died for you. Hey, I'm glad somebody had the truth. I think about folks in the Bible. I think about the woman at the well. There in John chapter 4, woman at the well, she came there. And the Lord had told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew that woman was going to be there. And he sat down and began to talk to her. And they were talking, and he said, you know, you go tell your husband. She said, well, I don't have one. And he said, that man, you're telling the truth. Because you've had a handful of them, and the guy you're shacked up with now, he's not your husband. And you know what? What did she do? She went into that village and said, come see a man that told me everything I did. Is not this the Christ? Why? Because he told her the truth. He told her the truth. Hey, friend, you and I still need the truth.
Amen.
We need the truth. Man, the hope of this old world, our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's a minister of truth. Minister of truth. This world needs more preachers that give the truth. Give the truth. The truth of this book. Hey, we need him. He is our hope. Why? He's the minister of the truth. But secondly, I want you to see this. Look at verse 9, would you? Look at verse 9. The Bible says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope because he is the means to mercy.
Amen.
He is the means to mercy. You know, we talk about the mercy of God. The psalmist wrote, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Forever. We talk about the mercy of God. Well, I want to tell you, the mercy of God is extended to man today through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? First of all, don't you understand, God is a just God. He cannot and will not just overlook sin. Because sin produces a debt. And it's a debt that has to be paid. Remember what the Bible said? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Hey, that's your sin. That's my sin. It produced a debt. The songwriter said he paid a debt he did not owe because I owed a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid it. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is our means to the mercy of God. You see, God's sense of justice will not allow sin to go unpunished. Cannot happen, all right? Cannot happen. You say, wait a minute, God will forgive our sin. Yes, he does, but why? Why? You see, we start talking about mercy. Mercy means we do not get what we deserve. What we deserve. Hey, that's mercy. Mercy. You're driving down the road. Maybe listening to the radio, whatever. Not paying really a whole lot of attention as far as, you know, you're just cruising along. You're looking around. You're watching traffic, those kind of things. But you're just out there, you know, enjoying the drive maybe. And all of a sudden, you happen to glance in your rearview mirror and you see these bright lights just twinkling crazy. And you realize, oh my, that's a state trooper. And something gives me this feeling he's after me. And so you pull over, sure enough, that state trooper pulls over right behind you. And he gets out of the car and comes up and he asks for your driver's license and all that kind of stuff. And you said, well, sir, what's the problem? Well, you were driving. And you go, uh-oh. Well, now you knew it, though, because the instant you saw those lights, you know what you did. You looked at your speedometer and took your foot off the gas pedal. Those two things are instantaneous responses to those lights. We take our foot off the gas pedal, and we look at the speedometer, and we go, oh! I didn't know I was going that fast. So he walks up there, and he begins to talk to you, and you go, officer, listen, I understand I was speeding. I understand that's against the law, so just go ahead, give me justice. There ain't no one of you sitting there want that. Maybe you try the routine of crying. If I'll just burst into tears. Now, we guys look bad when we do that, okay? So we can't approach it that way. We can't turn on the tears and think, that'll help. Yeah, no, that wouldn't make us look good. But we begin to, you know, try to explain. Well, you know, I was just driving. We got all these things going. The truth of the matter is what we're getting at is, could you give us some mercy?
Yes, sir.
Could you give us some mercy?
Amen.
We want mercy. Right. We want mercy. Let me tell you this, boy, when it comes to standing before God, I want mercy.
Amen.
I want mercy. Well, God sent his son to die on the cross. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I don't get what we deserve.
Amen.
If we'll take him as our Savior, we'll take him by faith and call on him and ask him to forgive our sin and to save our soul, we will not get what we deserve because what we deserve is hell.
Amen.
But the mercy of God will give us what we don't deserve. He'll say, you know, I'm not going to take care of it for you. I'm going to cover that. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for that mercy. Hey, there would be no hope for mercy for you and for me were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wage of sin is death. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, man, thank God. Because of that, we can draw from the mercy of God. Mercy is available. Hey, mercy is available to the Jew and the Gentile. Mercy is available to everybody. Why? Because of the hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Hey, he's the minister of truth. He is the means to mercy. I'll tell you this, he's also the mediator of the new covenant. The mediator of the new covenant. That new covenant is a covenant of grace rather than the law. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Man, under that Old Testament law, when you get into that part of the Bible and you're reading and you don't like to read it because it seems ponderous and it seems so hard to get through all of those, you know, here's the offering and here's the sacrifice and you've got to do this and you have to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that and it must be this way and it must be that way, and we read through all of that. That's the law.
Amen.
And we realize it didn't take all of that.
Nope.
Let's just go to Exodus chapter 20 and read about the first 15 verses.
Right.
We can't handle those.
Amen.
There's what we know and we call the Ten Commandments.
Right.
It's not all that other law. We can't even stay within those ten.
Nope. Right.
Goodness, we can't do it, all right? We can't do it. Now, there's one. Now, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That doesn't apply to you and me today.
Amen.
But there's just, okay, there's nine.
That's right.
We can't even handle those nine.
No, sir. Come on. Nope.
Can't handle them. Oh, we just can't do it. We need that mediator of that new covenant. All right? That new covenant demanded a mediator. A mediator is one who understands both sides and can settle the dispute. Sometimes there, today you get into business situations, you get into a problem, and there's a dispute, and you agree to have it settled by a mediator.
Right.
We let a mediator settle this thing. Well, in the new covenant, we needed a mediator who understood the heavenly and the earthly side. There's only one that'll do that. There's only one that'll do that. The Bible said there's one mediator between man and God, and the man Christ Jesus. Hey, that's it. There's only one mediator, not two, just one. And why does he work? Because he understands perfectly.
Amen.
The heavenly side.
Yes, sir.
Because he's God. He's God. But man, on the other hand, he understands the earthly side. Because he became man. He took upon himself the form of a man, was made in the likeness of a man.
Amen.
Why? That he could understand you and me. And the Bible said he was tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's the only one perfectly able to understand God's side and man's side. He's been in our shoes. But he's God. So he understands how you think, but he understands how God thinks. He's got both sides of it. Hey, we needed that mediator. One who could get a hold of us. One who could explain it to us. And one who would keep us straight. One who could represent us before the throne. We've got that mediator. Boy, thank God he's the only one that's ever experienced being both man and God. Hey, he's our hope. Why? He's a minister of truth. He's our hope. Why? He's the means to mercy. He's our hope. Why? He's the mediator between us and God.
Amen.
He's our mediator. Oh, man, what a blessing. He is our hope. But don't you look at something else. Look down in verse 12, would you? There in Romans, verse 12. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust.
Right.
Don't you look at that last word? Trust. Trust. He's the master all can trust. Have you ever thought about what it is a blessing to have somebody you can trust? My wife and I, for 19 years, lived over 4036 Neches over in Diamond Hill, section of Fort Worth. Diamond Hill section of Fort Worth is not the best part of town. It's just not the best part of town. But we had a neighbor. We had a neighbor that moved in next to us that we got acquainted with. And I said, this guy, we can trust. We can trust. If we left home, if we were going to be gone, you know, we're taking off on vacation or something, I would always go over to him and talk to him and say, now listen, we're going to be gone for a while. Would you keep an eye on our house?
Right.
He said, we'll do it. I'll keep an eye on things. You can count on it. He would come to us when he was going to be gone and ask us to do the same thing. I just want to tell you something. It's a good thing to have people you can trust.
Amen.
Good to have people you can trust. When we lived in Georgia, we had a neighbor we could trust. We could trust him to break in every time we were gone. Now, you think I'm joking? I'm not joking. We could trust him. He'd break in our house every time we were gone. He said, who was it? It's a teenager. It's my brother's friend. He was a little older than me. But he'd break in our house. We'd go and he'd break in. And rifle through all the vast riches we had, of course. But, I mean, he would. He'd break in. Hey, listen, isn't it good to have somebody you can really trust for good? But wait a minute. Not just a friend. Think how much better it is to have a master you can trust.
Amen.
You think about that. A master you can trust. We're talking about one that is over you. One that is over you. You could trust him. You could trust that master. And I want to tell you, that's the kind of master the Lord Jesus Christ is. You can trust his power. You can trust his power. That power is always going to be exercised for your good. He's never going to exercise his power just to hurt you. Just to hurt you. Hey, look, we've all seen TV shows where some local turkey has gotten too much power and he abuses that power. And he harms people. And we have to call on Superman or Zorro or somebody to come to the rescue. We've all seen those kind of things. Maybe you have literally worked for a boss who would mistreat you. Hey, you hear me? You hear me? The Lord Jesus Christ is our hope because he's a master. We can trust. We can trust his power.
Amen.
We can trust his power. That power is eternal. It's eternal. He has the power to save you. The power to save you. The power to redeem your soul. Boy, you think about that. But not only the power to save you, but I'll be honest, this part I really like. He has the power to keep me saved.
Amen.
He has the power to keep me saved. I do not run through life worried about losing my salvation. I'm not going through life worried about it. Why? Because I'm kept by the power of God.
Amen.
Not by my hand.
Right.
I'm glad that picture in the Old Testament, the ark that was built. I'm glad when it was time and it was about to begin to rain. The Bible, you read the Bible, and the Bible says God spoke to Noah and he said, come into the ark.
Right.
Now, you don't say come in unless you're in. Did you hear me?
Amen.
Said, you don't say come in unless you're in.
That's right.
You're not in your house or you're not at your house and somebody say, hey, somebody come over. You're not standing out in the yard and say, well, go ahead and come in.
Yeah.
I'll be in a minute. No.
No.
You'd say, go in.
Right.
You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When God said to Noah, come in, he was saying, I'm in here too. Just come on in. Just come on in. And that door was shut. I'm glad God didn't tell Noah, now Noah, you get all those animals in there and make sure you put 8 pegs on the outside of that ark.
Yeah.
And then when it's time to get ready and the rains come, you and your wife and your 3 sons and their wives grab a hold of a peg. It's going to be a tough ride. But if you can hang on, you'll be okay. No, sir, I'm glad it was come in. Come in. What are you saying? I'm saying he had the power to save me, and he has the power to keep me saved. I'm not saved today because I've worked to keep it. I'm kept by the power of God. If you're saved, you are too. Hey, his power, the master we can trust. You can trust his power. Hey, you can trust his promises. You can trust his promises. You get in this book and you read this book, and there's promise after promise that's given to people. Promise after promise. He gave wonderful promises to the Jews. He told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And he said, I'll bless anybody that blesses you, and I'll curse anybody that curses you. And he said, I'm going to make your people a blessing to the whole earth. And he's kept that promise. He's kept that promise. Hey, did you hear me? He's promised us some things, friend. He's promised us. He is able to keep his promises. You can trust him. You can trust him. There's a lot of people in this world today, they tell you something and they have every intention. They mean well, but they don't carry through. They don't carry through. But I tell you what he said he'll do, he's going to do. He's going to do it. You can count on it. When he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. You know what that means? That means he's coming back. That means he's coming back. You can count on it. You can count on it. When he says one of these days the trump's going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. You know what that means? That means exactly what it says. There's going to be a resurrection.
Amen.
Those that have died in Christ, they'll be resurrected.
Yep.
They're going to, he said, they're going first. Somebody said because they got 6 feet further to go than we do. And so they're going to come forth first, and when together, we'll meet them in the air. Oh, what a meeting that's going to be in the air.
Amen.
You know what? You can trust his promise. You can trust his promise. He never forgets a promise. You ever forgot a promise? Come on, we have. We make promises, and then we forget that we made the promise. God never forgets. Hey, he never backs out on a promise either. You got it? He never backs out on a promise. His promises are sure. You can trust his promises. He's a master all can trust. Not only that, you can trust his provision. You can trust his provision. He'll always provide what is best and what is right for me and you. He'll do it. We just need to trust him because we can trust him. He'll provide. When he said, I'll provide your needs, what that means is he'll provide our needs. We can trust him. He's going to do that, all right? He's going to do that. He will meet our needs. He'll provide for us. We just stay faithful to him and serve him. You say, listen, he is the hope of the Jew and the Gentile. He's the hope of this whole world. Why? Because he's a minister of truth. Minister of truth. He's the means to mercy. He is the mediator of that new covenant. He's the master that all can trust. Can I just stop right here and end the message and tell you he's more than you can imagine. More than you can even think. More than you can even conceive of. You read through the Bible, and the truth of the matter is if you read this book and believe it, hang on to it, there's some things in there that'll just blow your mind, if you will. And you go, oh, it's just unbelievable. But I believe it. But it's still unbelievable. Why? Because he's more than you can imagine. He'll take you through the storm. He'll see to it you get out on the other side. He is the light of the world. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting Father. Man, we just go on and on and on today. He's more than you can imagine. Got a question for you, and we're done. How well do you know the one who is our hope? How well do you know the one who is our hope? Oh, let me ask you, first of all, been a time in your life where beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can go back, you can say, that's when I trusted him for salvation. That's when I called him. I remember when I got saved. I can take you to the place. The old song said, I can tell you now the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. Can you do that? You got that place? You remember that time? Now I want to ask you, if your answer is yes, preacher, I know that. I know I'm saved. If your answer is yes, then how well is your relationship with him? How good a relationship do you have? Is it one of those that's just kind of a working relationship, you know, just when an emergency? Well, I hope it's not. Well, listen, the relationship our Lord wants to have with us is a friend. He said, I've called you friends. Friend. Not just a working relationship, but a friend relationship. What's your relationship with him like? He is our hope. He is our hope. Our hope's not in Washington, D.C. Our hope's not in Austin. Our hope's not in the, you know, United Nations. My man, our hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. How well do you know him? Hey, I went back to that question. Do you trust him as your Savior? If you can't say, I know for sure I have, I'm not sure there's a time and a place. Well, how about making this the time and this the place? We're going to stand and sing a verse of invitation in just a moment. We're going to invite you to come. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come today and ask him to save you? Would you come, walk this aisle, meet me here at the front and just say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. Would you do that? And we'll have somebody open the Bible and show you what the Bible says. You'll understand it. We'll just make sure you understand completely. And God will save you if you'd come to him today. Christian, you're here, but your relationship with him's not right. Why don't you make it right? One of these days, the trumpet will sound. The trumpet will sound. We will be in his midst. Wouldn't it be better to meet him as your friend than to meet him in shame and say, Lord, I wish I'd have had a better relationship with you. Hey, the quality of your relationship doesn't depend on God, it depends on you. Depends on you. Hey, look, if you need to straighten some things out, maybe there is, the song says, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Maybe there is something. Why don't you come kneel here at these steps or maybe one of these front pews and get rid of that something. If it's sin, confess it. If it's bitterness, come and leave it. Heavenly Father, would you just deal with us today? Speak to every heart. Help us to see ourselves as we really are. Help us to see our need. And Lord, I pray you'd help us today to be honest with you. We'd come to you. We'd trust you today. Lord, if there's one that's not been saved, would you help them to come? Trust Christ today. Meet the Savior. Lord, if there's Christians here, and they've got something that's interfering with their relationship with you, would you help them to come? Get it right so there would truly be nothing between our soul and the Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning? We're going to sing page 401, Only Trust Him. Only Trust Him. Would you do that? Would you just trust Him today?